هشتاد هشتاد هشت.
KIRN Simi Valley Los Angeles 95.5 FM HD3.
It's Spain versus Argentina at the World Cup final in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The title game is underway following opening ceremonies and the playing of each country's national anthem. Jennifer Hudson did the honors for the U.S., President Trump, and several world leaders, including Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum and Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, are among the invited guests. Today's final caps off weeks of competition, which took place in Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. White House border czar Tom Homan says he thinks body cameras are the way to go after recent ICE-involved shootings. Homan made the comment on CBS's Face the Nation.
You can have a cell phone camera from a witness on the side. You can have no city cameras or whatever. I want the American people to see where that officer takes an action.
His comments come after a Colombian man in Maine and a Mexican man in Texas were both fatally shot by ICE agents earlier this month. In both cases, the agents were not wearing body cams. When asked about the shootings, Homan said they have to let the investigations play out. At least 9 people are injured after an early morning shooting outside a Minneapolis nightclub. Police say it happened outside the Rain Event Center shortly before 12:30 a.m. Responding officers found a large crowd and multiple victims, all in their 20s, with gunshot wounds. One man was taken to the hospital in critical condition. Authorities are trying to determine if the shots were fired from a vehicle. No arrests reported. Police say 5 family members have been killed in flash flooding in Wayne County, Utah. More from David Kale.
It happened Friday evening at the Sunglow campground outside Bicknell. A young man's body was found with 2 more men found later in the night. Search and rescue crews recovered 2 more bodies Saturday. All 5 were apparently caught in a flash flood. Sheriff's deputies continue to investigate.
In a stunning debut, The Odyssey earned more than $124 million, packing theaters easily nationwide. I'm Lisa Carton.
دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our World, Our Community with Debbie Amini.
روز بخیر شنوندگان عزیز. امروز در برنامه میزبان ایزرائیل الیس هستیم، نویسنده، کارآفرین و سخنران برجسته که در تورنتو زندگی می کنند و با بیش از 30 سال تجربه در دنیای کارآفرینی و زندگی پرفراز و نشیب تصمیم گرفتند که تجربیات ارزشمند خودشون رو با مردم به اشتراک بذارن و این کار رو علاوه بر میزبانی پادکست محبوب The Unfiltered View از طریق نوشتن کتاب‌ها و آثاری برجسته انجام میدن. جدیدترین کتاب ایشون با نام Moving Through Walls، عبور از دیوارها، 4 اصل کلیدی، پذیرش، ایمان، آینده و بخشش رو بررسی میکنه. اصولی کاربردی که به خودشون کمک کرده از سطح‌های زندگی عبور کنن و زندگی دلخواهشون رو بسازن. همچنین کتاب دیگه نوشتن با عنوان The Wake Up Call، زنگ بیدار باش، که نگاهی عمیق داره به موضوعاتی مثل گسستیزی و جهاد جهانی در دنیای امروز. ما هم قرار هست در این برنامه باشون درباره مسیر زندگیشون و راهکارهای عملی که در کتاب‌ها به مخاطبان ارائه دادن گفتگو بکنیم. Welcome to the show, Israel Ellis. It's great to have you.
Thank you and salam.
That's good. You know salam. How did you learn Farsi?
I actually just looked it up on the internet.
That's good enough. Fair enough. Well, since you live in Toronto, I know a lot of Persian people live there. I'm sure plenty of restaurants. So I thought maybe you have a few friends who speak Persian.
Well, actually, you know, I first became familiar with the Persian community when I was in grade school, and a friend of mine, I think his name was Ari, had come to Canada without his parents. And there's a young man of about, he was about 12 years old. And the way that he came to Canada was really a journey that none of us at that time were familiar with. He didn't just jump on a plane. Of course, his family was Jewish in Tehran, and he basically had to escape. And he had quite a journey, and it took years for his parents to come. And I suspect later in life, as I learned more about the Persian community, that many, especially Jewish families, had to literally escape Tehran. It was heartbreaking to have to send their kids through various overland and sea and getting them to Jayas. Mm-hmm. and to safe keeping, and that these kids were without their parents for many years. So the community took this young man in. He went on to become an extremely successful doctor. So that was my first introduction into the Persian community.
That's correct. And many of our listeners can totally identify with what you just said, because they are the same kids who were back then, 12, 13, 14, or their parents can listen to us now. دوستان ایشون اشاره کردن اولین برخوردی که با یک ایرانی داشتن زمانی بود که یک پسر 12 ساله ایرانی بدون خانوادش به تنهایی رفته بوده کانادا زندگی بکنه و خب شرایط متفاوتی داشته از این که فقط سوار هواپیما بشه و برسه به کانادا. مطمئنم که شما عزیزان خیلیاتون خاطره های گفتنی دارین که خوبه که با هم هم شیر بشه راجع به این مسئله که چطور تونستین از ایران بیاین بیرون و زندگی تازه‌ای رو اینجا آغاز بکنین و خدا رو شکر بسیار هم موفق. همونطور که ایشون گفتن دوستشون آری الان یک دکتر هست. Let's move to the book that you wrote. Two books, but I'm going to start with a new book. It's called Moving Through Walls. I want to know, what is the biggest wall you had to face in your life?
Sure, that's a good question. I'm going to correct you, because Moving Through Walls was one of my first books, most widely known books that was published in 2020, and then followed The Wake Up Call in 2025. I think that, you know, one of the big walls that I came through was my background. I grew up in a, you know, rather poor family. We were quite religious, and education was frowned upon. And for me, I always thought that there was a better opportunity in life. And I knew that I had to make a choice to pursue that, to pursue the kind of life that I wanted to, which was means to pursue an education and to work hard and become I eventually became an academic, and then I became an entrepreneur, and quite grateful to have been as successful as I've been in life. And it didn't come without its challenges. So I would say that the greatest wall that I had to move through was proving to myself that I could change the status of my life, very much akin to the story I told you of Ari, of coming without any parents and without the support. I too sort of, you know, had a wall in front of me, which was that support mechanism and the confidence that I needed to move forward and to believe in myself. And I think that's the greatest wall that I moved through.
That's great. Before I translate this for our dear audience, you said no education. Was that because you were from a religious family or because you were poor?
It was mainly because, coming from a very religious family at the time, it was frowned upon. And anything secular was frowned upon, because assimilation was frowned upon. And so the community that I came from was extremely insular, in the sense that it discouraged any kind of outside influences. And this takes away from sort of the opportunity to educate and to secularize and to be able to go out into the world and to get beyond the community to do business and whatever it is that you wanted to do. And I realized from a very young age that if I wanted to achieve the things that I dreamed about, that I would have to learn to speak the language to do so. Mm-hmm. And so much of my journey, especially when I was young, was, you know, overcoming that challenge of finding the language to speak in a world that was really coming from a world that was completely cut off. So as soon as you, you know, sort of ventured out into that secular world, you lost the support of your community. And that was very painful. And that was also very challenging because you were alone. Mm-hmm. And even though I came from a very strong Jewish community, once you're coming from that very insular subset, it's very difficult to get out of it. And so it was a very painful journey. And I talk about it in my book. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, and I have to say this, getting into it, one of the things that I recognized was that I loved my Judaism. And I loved being a Jewish person. And the struggle was having to give that up. And what I realized was I didn't have to give that up mm-hmm. to become assimilated and to secularize myself into the world around me. And that was a beautiful thing that I learned, was that I didn't need to judge my Judaism by the Jew.
That's true. I agree with you 100%. But it was very interesting what you said, because I didn't even know that Orthodox people don't go after education because they have to go to the community of secular people. Like, I didn't know that they can't go to their normal university to become a doctor. I thought maybe they have limitations for girls, but I didn't know they have the same rules for men. Let me translate what we said. آقای اسرائیل الیس گفتن که در یک خانواده فقیر و بسیار بسیار مذهبی به دنیا آمدن و به همین دلیل من البته متوجه نشدم اول که به خاطر فقر بوده یا به خاطر مذهبی بودن شدید بوده که نمیتونستن به تحصیلاتشون ادامه بدن و فرمودن به خاطر اینکه نه، برای اینکه وقتی توی دنیایی میرن مثلا دانشگاه ها مختلط هستن، افراد مختلف هستن، قرار نبوده که به تحصیلات ادامه بدن. و ایشون اسم کتابشون که هست Moving Through Walls، عبور از دیوارها، براشون این معنی رو میداده که از این محدودیت ها بگذرن و موفقیت براشون این بوده که به خودشون ثابت بکنن که میتونن موقعیت زندگی خودشون رو تغییر بدن. پس برای موقعیت بهتر، زندگی بهتر، دیوارها رو شکستن. نکته دیگه هم که بهش اشاره کردن این بود که یهودیت رو دوست داشتن و به خاطر اینکه این محدودیت ها براشون پیش اومده بوده، خیلی ناراحت بودن از اینکه باید یکی رو انتخاب بکنن، تا اینکه تشخیص دادن که میتونن یهودیت رو نگه دارن و اینکه یک فرد چطور مذهب رو رعایت میکنه معنی این نیست که خود مذهب اون معنی رو میده. به اصطلاح باید بگم که یک آدم مذهبی نماینده اون مذهب نیست و این واقعا واقعیتی که توی همه مذاهب باید بهش اشاره کرد. Thank you so much. You talked about four keys: openness, faith, future and forgiveness. Which one do you think is the hardest to practice?
I think forgiveness.
Forgiveness. For me too. Forgiveness is the most difficult one. So what do you suggest to people? What is the tools that you provide for your the readers, the ones who are reading your book, to be able to forgive?
So I think the first most important thing in forgiveness is to depersonalize an injustice. We haven't, you know, unfortunately, many of us experience injustice in many different ways. We can experience personal injustice. We can also experience race injustice. And there's no shortage of injustices out there available for us to experience. And what happens is that our psyche becomes conditioned to become what I term as injustice collectors. And this is a self-defeating frame of mind where we internalize the injustice to a point that we look for injustices at times. We look to see where an injustice applies to us. But the mistake that people make is that they take the injustice personally. And sometimes it's very easy to do that, because if somebody's in an abusive relationship, well, they see that abuse as having been directed at them personally.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that I stress that I learned, and I learned this as a businessman, and I learned it as in my personal life, that when you have injustices and you incorporate that injustice to make up who you are and the very essence of your being, is that it's kind of like, I give the example of a parking lot that is full, where you approach the parking lot and it says full. You it's very difficult for you to park that car. It's very difficult to find an available space in your life to progress and to achieve the things that you want to achieve, the dreams, and to dream and to hope and to be able to focus on constructive opportunities and planning and strategy for your life. Having that injustice carrying around with you is like a blockage. Mm-hmm. It's an emotional blockage, and it's also a confidence blockage. So as long as you carry that injustice with you, it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to progress constructively in life. You're going to repeat that injustice in your own life in some way, shape, or form. And it's about becoming a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to become a victim. And when you live life as a victim, you're always looking over your shoulder at what is happening to you. And if you can find a way, and I talk about it in my book, to depersonalize that injustice, you recognize when you depersonalize, you recognize that it wasn't about you. And as soon as you recognize that something isn't about you, your ego, that part of your psyche that governs the choices and the subconscious choices that you make in life, it's set aside.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize, oh, this isn't about me. This did happen, but it wasn't about me that it happened to. It was me being a victim of circumstance, me being in the wrong place at the wrong time and out of my control. It's that personalization of injustices that happened to us, whether it's, as I brought up as an example, an abusive relationship, or whether it's something that happened to you in childhood that was beyond your control, and it could be a minor thing, and it can be a terrible thing that happens to you. But the key to forgiveness is to be able to depersonalize the injustice. And I want to say something else, Debbie, because it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness, when I talk about forgiveness, it is not referring to forgiving somebody for the injustice visited upon you, because that would be a further abuse.
Mm-hmm.
It's about allowing yourself to forgive, not forgive that person that did that to you or the situation that visited the injustice on you, but rather the idea of allowing yourself to forgive the injustice itself.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that through depersonalization.
So don't you think that if I blame what happened to me in the situation that I was in or the time that I was in, then I wouldn't be able to forgive God? Because if I want to say, okay, that person I can forgive, it's not because that person wanted to hurt me or something. I was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. So that makes me like angry at God or something he had planned for me. Don't you think that?
I don't think that it's necessarily about God.
Okay.
We can always, it's easy to say, oh, God, this did this to me and the universe brought me to this. But the type of forgiveness that I'm talking about here is the forgiveness of the injustice that happened by another human being to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And God, you know, the part that God plays in this is that God has given you the gift of choice.
Mm-hmm.
God has given you the gift of life. And it's up to you to use that gift. You know, I went through a very difficult time in my life, whereas not only did I grow up in this very segregated and sort of fundamental subjugated religious mm-hmm. environment, but I was also, as a result of that, and also I was abused as a child. And it took me many years to understand that abuse. And it wasn't until I had my own children and looked into the eyes of my son as he started to develop and grow up and watched his happiness that I started to heal and realized, oh, you know, there is other ways of dealing with it, because abuse is the most insidious of injustices that can happen to people. When another person uses their power over somebody much more vulnerable, whether it be an abusive man in a relationship with a woman, or whether it be a woman and mm-hmm. abusing a man in a relationship, yeah. that can happen. But a parent, or as a young child being abused, whether it be emotionally, physically, sexually, by somebody who is much more powerful than them, it leaves a scar, and that scar is very difficult to heal, obviously, mm-hmm. but it also incorporates into their psyche. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring this into away from sort of like the human relationship. Let's talk about business. When you're in business.
Before we go to business, yeah. I want to translate this because yeah. I'm afraid I forget.
Okay, please.
راجب بخشش صحبت کردن و یه فریزی هست. I want to refer to the one that say forgive someone not because they deserve to be forgiven, just because you deserve to have peace of mind.
That's correct.
That's basically what you explained.
Like forgiveness has nothing to do with the person who abused you.
Right.
You have absolutely no obligation to forgive somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's the concept is that you allow yourself to forgive the injustice, the mm-hmm. situation. You depersonalize it by saying that it's not about the person who abused me.
Forgiveness does not mean that you let the abuser to come back to your life, basically.
That's correct. Yeah, make it about that person, then their abuse becomes perpetual, because you need them in order to find that forgiveness, and that's the mistake that people make.
No, I need you to forgive me, and I need our listeners to forgive me. دوستان باید بریم به آگهی ها گوش بدیم ولی بر میگردیم به صحبت هامون ادامه میدیم با آقای ایزرائیل الیس کتاب هایی که نوشتن و باز هم راجع به بخش صحبت میکنیم. قول میدم در بخش بعدی اول ترجمه بکنم صحبت ها رو و بعد به صحبت ها ادامه بدم. با ما باش.
تصادف ممکن است فقط چند ثانیه طول بکشد، اما تأثیر آن میتواند مسیر زندگی انسان را برای همیشه تغییر دهد.
در لاین گیت لا گروپ هیچ هزینه اولیه دریافت نمی شود و هیچ هزینه ساعتی از شما مطالبه نخواهد شد. فقط در صورت موفقیت پرونده هزینه دریافت خواهد شد.
لاین گیت لا گروپ با مدیریت دکتر سایان عبودی سالهاست که از حقوق قربانیان تصادف در کالیفرنیا دفاع می کند و برای دریافت هزینه های درمان، از کار افتادگی و جبران خسارت اقدام می کند. فرقی نمی کند تصادف جزئی بوده یا شدید، حفظ حقوق شما همواره در اولویت قرار دارد.
برای دریافت مشاوره همین امروز با دکتر سایان عبودی در گروه حقوقی لاین گیت تماس حاصل فرمایید. لاین گیت لا گروپ، صدای شما برای اجرای عدالت در ایالت کالیفرنیا.
818-945-1234 818-945-1234.
وقتی یکی از عزیزانتان دارای معلولیت‌های رشدی است، بدانید که تنها نیستید. مرکز منطقه شمال لس‌آنجلس با بیش از 50 سال تجربه با برگزاری گروه‌های حمایتی رایگان در کنار شماست. به زبان خودتان در جامعه خودتان. برای اطلاع از زمان جلسات 818-756-6487 818-756-6487 nlacrc.org.
تجربه شماست.
پارسال یک کامیون زد به ماشینم و علاوه بر خسارتی که به ماشینم وارد شد، خودم هم از ناحیه گردن و کمر دچار آسیب شدم. از اونجایی که من برنامه‌های آقای شایانی را دنبال می‌کنم، در یکی از برنامه‌هاش درباره تصادف با ماشین‌های سنگین توضیح می‌داد و دیدم که ایشون چقدر واردن. خیلی سریع زنگ زدم بهشون و ایشون و تیم قدرتمندشون پرونده تصادف منو با رقم خیلی بالایی بیشتر از اون چیزی که فکر میکردم برام ستل کردن. اینجا میخوام از آقای شایانی هزار بار تشکر کنم که اینقدر متین، حرفه‌ای و مطمئن پرونده منو به نتیجه رسوندن. و اگر خدای نکرده با وسایل نقلیه سنگین تصادف کردید، حتما پرونده‌تون رو فقط ببرید پیش آقای شایانی. به نظر من پیام شایانی بهترین وکیلیه که تجربه انجام این نوع پرونده‌های پیچیده رو داره.
پیام شایانی 818-777-777-77.
آیا می دانستید هر گونه بدهی به آیارس و یا استیت می تواند شامل بخشش شود؟ بله، درست شنیدید. با استفاده از قانون Fresh Start Program ما می توانیم نسبت به درآمدتان بدهی شما را کاهش دهیم و یا اینکه بدون پرداخت آن را تسویه کنیم. Tax Resolution Plus 866-900-9001 866-900-9001 Tax Resolution Plus.
دکتر مهران منش، اولین و با تجربه ترین وکیل تراست و انحصار وراثت در جامعه ایرانی.
ما امروزه در طراحی تراست خانوادگی شما استراتژی هایی رو میتونیم به کار ببریم که حتی چند سال پیش امکانش رو نداشتیم. یکی از این تکنیک های نوین اینه که شما میتونید ارث فرزندان خودتون رو که در آینده نامعلومی قراره به اونها برسه در حال حاضر asset protection یا محافظت کنید و در واقع ارث اونها رو در مقابل حوادث ناخوشایند بیمه کنید.
دکتر مهران منش، تجربه، دانش، تخصص، دقت. manishlaw.com 310-843-9292 310-843-9292.
همین جمعه ساعت 1:30 بعد از ظهر دکتر نادر جوادی متخصص خون و سرطان در مورد بیماری‌های سرطان با شما گفتگو خواهند کرد. دکتر نادر جوادی 818-578-6454.
آقای کنعانی، شوهر من برنامه‌ریزی مالی نداره. میگن بعد از 100 سال اگه فوت کنه بیشتر اموالش از دستم میره. حقیقت داره؟
بله، نه تنها اون، اگر درآمد و پیچکشون قطع بشه، باید پسنداز و سرمایه‌شون درآمد بده که باهاش زندگی کنی و خدای نکرده بعد از فوت به بازماندگان برسه. ما به شما در این زمینه به راحتی کمک میکنیم.
مشاور مالی شما دیوید کنعانی 877-829-9227.
خبر فوری برای دارندگان استودنت لون. طبق تغییرات جدید، قوانین و شرایط مربوط به استودنت لون ها دستخوش تغییرات مهمی می شوند. اگر هنوز برای کاهش بدهی، بخشش و یا تنظیم شرایط وام دانشجویی خود اقدام نکرده اید، زمان زیادی باقی نمانده. بعد از اجرای قوانین جدید، مزایا و فرصت های قبلی حذف می شوند. تیم حرفه‌ای Goodbye Student Loan آماده است تا شرایط پرونده شما را تا قبل از 1 جولای بررسی کرده و بهترین راهکار ممکن را ارائه دهد. Goodbye Student Loan 800-451-91C. همین امروز تماس بگیرید و قبل از اول جولای اقدام کنید. 800-451-91C. Goodbye Student Loan 800-451-91C. 800-451-91-C.
شنوندگان عزیز، من وایک الخاصیون هستم. شرکت ما Always Air Funeral Services با هزینه‌های منصفانه و خدماتی چون تدفین با مراسم ایرانی از $5,000، Direct Cremation از $1,200 و انتقال پیکر به ایران از امریکا و کانادا در حدود 10 روز در کنار شما هستیم. همراه با خدمات دیگر چون پیش برنامه ریزی و ساخت یادبودهای برنزی و گرانیتی.
FD2442 وایک الخاصیون 818-806-9200 818-806-9200 عضو 08.
آب بهتر، زندگی سالمتر. برای افزایش احساس جوانی و سلامتی با من شادی پزشکی تماس بگیرید تا با عوض کردن آب نوشیدنی خود شما همین هدیه را تجربه کنید. شادیپزشکی.com 818-633-3399.
U.S. Central Command says unidentified human remains have been recovered in Jordan. CENTCOM said in a statement that the remains were found near the location of an Iranian strike that killed 2 U.S. service members and left one missing. A process to verify the remains is ongoing. CENTCOM also announced that a U.S. service member was killed in action in Iraq. The American soldier died following a controlled detonation of unexploded ordnance from a downed Iranian one-way attack drone. It's Spain versus Argentina at the World Cup final in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Play resumed after a first-ever FIFA halftime show featuring Shakira, Madonna, BTS, and Justin Bieber. President Trump is on hand for the match and is expected to take part in the trophy presentation after the contest. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum and Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney also among the invited guests. Today's final game caps off weeks of competition. I'm Lisa Carton.
دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community with Debbie Amini.
دوستان عزیز، خوش آمدید به قسمت دوم برنامه امروز دنیای ما جامعه ما. دبی امینی هستم. میهمان عزیز برنامه امروز آقای ایزرائیل الیس هستند که نویسنده هستند و همچنین میزبان پادکست The Unfiltered View. راجع به کتابشون قبل از اینکه بریم آگهی ها صحبت کردیم. Moving Through Walls، عبور از دیوارها، که راجع به چهار اصل صحبت میکردن. یکی از اصل ها بخشش بود، برای اینکه آدم بتونه از محدودیت ها عبور بکنه، از دیوار عبور بکنه و یک زندگی و موقعیت خوب رو برای خودش به وجود بیاره. و ایشون گفتن که اون چیزی رو که در کتاب توصیه کردن این هست که وقتی که عدالتی در حق ما میشه، ظلمی در حق ما میشه، هیچ وقت این رو شخصی نگیرید، از یک شخص به شخص خودتون نگیرید، برای اینکه این باعث میشه که یک احساس قربانی بودنی با آدم دست بده و اون باعث میشه که ما نتونیم اون رشدی رو که لازم هست داشته باشیم. ایشون فرمودن بخشش به این معنا نیست که کسی که شما رو اذیت کرده و ظلم در حق شما کرده اجازه بدید که برگرده توی زندگیتون. بخشش فقط به این معنی هست که اون زهری رو که به شما خورونده در واقع اثرش رو از بین ببرید، انتخاب بکنید که اجازه ندید اون بی‌عدالتی و ظلم همچنان در ذهن شما بمونه و باعث اذیت و آزار بشه. که منم اشاره کردم به این جمله که میگن دیگران رو ببخشید، نه به خاطر اینکه اونها مستحق بخشش هستند، بلکه برای اینکه شما مستحق آرامش هستید. کار سختی بخشش، ولی اون وسیله‌ای به اصطلاح بگم، اون راهی رو که ایشون پیشنهاد میکنن، راهبردی که بتونه به ما کمک بکنه در بخشش، این هست که بگین که من در موقعیت بدی، در زمان بدی قرار داشتم، ولی اصلا مسئله شخصی نیست و شاید نکته هست که بتونه به ما کمک بکنه در این راه و واقعا بتونیم به خودمون بیش از این آسیب نزنیم به خاطر اشتباهی که دیگران در حق ما کردن. حالا با اجازه شما شنوندگان عزیز میخوام برم راجع به کتاب دیگه آقای ایزرائیل الیس صحبت بکنم. I want to talk about the wake up call, but before I do that, why don't you tell us if we want to buy your books and get more familiar with you, what we should do, where we can purchase these books?
Sure. So my books are available on Amazon. You can search Ezrael Ellis and both of my books will come up, and it's available in digital audio and in hard copy and soft cover. And you can also go to my website, ezraelellis.com. And if you go to my website, you can take a look at all our different resources there. And certainly we would appreciate if you fill out a contact us page so you can be, we can enter you into our newsletter. I have a podcast on YouTube called The Unfiltered View, where I interview a lot of different people based on the wake-up call. And so those are probably I've got. You can follow me at Instagram at Ezrael_Ellis. And I'm on TikTok. I'm on all the social media platforms, including LinkedIn.
Perfect. I'm sure everybody knows how to spell Israel. Just for those who might be interested.
So. You'd be surprised.
But Ellis is E-L-L-I-S. I just wanted to mention that there are two L's in Ellis. So Israel Ellis. And let's talk about the wake-up call. The topic is really heavy. Why did you feel it was time to write this book?
You know, as opposed to the Moving Through Walls, which was a well-planned book that I wrote because I wanted to answer a question my son had asked me, which was, Dad, how did you get from where you came from to where you are today? And that prompted the idea of the Moving Through Walls book. The wake-up call came to me sort of as a knowingness. It just sort of, it wasn't the book I wanted to write. It wasn't the book I was planning on writing. It was a book that I had to write, unfortunately. And I'll tell you just a quick story, and you can certainly read the book, and in the book I get into much more detail. But on October 7th, we're all familiar with that tragic day. Mm-hmm. We received a message on our phone from our son saying, Abba and Ima, I am here for a reason. He was calling from Israel. He said, I'm here for a reason. This is why I was put here on this earth. I need to go out, and by the time you hear this message, you won't be able to get in touch with me. You're going to understand what's going on in the world and what's happened in Israel, and God will protect me. My son is in the IDF. He was a Golani. He is a Golani soldier. And he was in Miluim, which is the reservist duties. He was at the time working for a high-tech company. Things went crazy in Israel on that fateful Saturday at 6:30 in the morning. By 10:30 in the morning, he was somewhere inside of Syria, and we could not contact him, of course. He was in a special unit, and because Israel was in a sudden state of alert, they were expecting attacks, rightly so, from the Hezbollah and from the ISIS, and from they were surrounded by all sides. It was once again 1948 all over again. Mm-hmm. And my son was part of an elite unit that was dealing with the other threats in the north. And so we got this call, and of course we were terrified.
Of course.
We were scheduled. Sorry, do you want to translate that?
Sure. من ازشون پرسیدم دلیل این که این کتاب رو نوشتن The Wake Up Call که در واقع زنگ بیدار باش میشه ترجمهش چی بوده و گفتن برخلاف کتاب اولی که نوشته بودن که پسرشون ازشون میپرسه که تو چطور به این موفقیت رسیدی و اون کتابو خیلی با برنامه مینویسن، این کتاب یک باره به ذهنشون میاد که باید نوشته بشه و دلیلش تلفنی بوده که از پسرشون گرفتن که در اون زمان در اسرائیل بوده در قسمت ذخیره ارتش اسرائیل و بهشون گفته من به یک دلیلی روی به این دنیا آمدم، روی کره زمین هستم و ممکنه تا موقعی که شما متوجه بشین که در اسرائیل داره چه اتفاقی میفته، در روز هفتم اکتبر بوده، شنبه‌ای که حمله شد به اسرائیل و قتل عامی که اونجا انجام شد و اسرائیل حدس می‌زده که حتما از نقاط دیگه مثل حزب الله از شمال و از آیسیس بهشون حمله بشه که همینطور هم شده و اینا وقتی که این پیام رو گرفتن با شرایط جنگی بسیار نگران بودن. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we were scheduled to be in Europe at the time and we flew out the next day on a scheduled flight. And what I had noticed was this sudden tsunami, this tidal wave of protests that were happening all over Europe. So it wasn't that people were feeling bad for Israelis or for the 1,200 people that were brutally murdered by this terrorist organization, but it was as if it was the green light given for pre-organized events that were happening simultaneously everywhere. It was shocking to see. And, you know, as I made my way through Europe and experienced what was unbelievable display of Jewish hatred, and it was the fervency of this global Islamization taking place before my very eyes, and that I realized that the world had gone mad, and this is sort of the basis of the book. When I went to Israel following October 7th, my wife and I went to see what we could do to help. Of course, we were very concerned about our son. And we ended up volunteering in hospitals in Israel. And we also found ourselves staying there for a couple of months. And we were talking to people, and I realized that people wanted to speak about what was happening. And so I started to listen to many of the people that were directly involved. I also decided one day to go down to Gaza and to see exactly what happened, and to walk on my 2 feet from Gaza to Kibbutz Be'eri, which is a kibbutz that unfortunately was completely massacred on that fateful day. Mm-hmm. And during the walk, I was trying to imagine, what were these people thinking? What were these terrorists thinking as they came over? What would happen to them? And what was on their minds? And when I got to the kibbutz and saw the devastation, I was just completely, as any sane, reasonable person would be, devastated by what had happened. And I couldn't help but wonder why this happened and how this could have happened. Throughout the conversations that I've had all over the world with people, the one question that kept on surfacing was the question of how. How could this possibly take place in this century, in this time, so close to so many other events that have taken place in the world? How can the world stand by and to further kick us when we are down? And I woke up one morning in my apartment in Tel Aviv and walked out onto the veranda as the morning sun started to rise. Mm-hmm. And I started to cry, and I started to look up. And you talk about people blaming God. Well, I didn't blame God. I asked God. And I asked how this could happen. I reiterated the question that I had heard so many times. And the book came to me. It came to me in sort of a, if you will, a flash. It was like a knowingness. It wasn't, I didn't want to write the book. But all of a sudden, all of this information of all the conversations that I've had, all of the observations that I've made, came flooding into me, and I sat down and I started to just to journalize my feelings and to journalize what I'd heard. And I came up with 7 observations behind the question of how October 7th happened. And I told the story of the wake-up call as a warning, not only to Jews, not only to the world, but to every single person in the world, to say, hey, this is not about the Jewish people. This is a wake-up call about the destruction of humanity. We have to wake up. We have to see what is before us, what has happened here, and we have to act so that we can survive this. Mm-hmm. And that is the book. The book is about this idea. And the book is a very it's written as a story. It's written in very lay terms, and it explains a lot of the background behind a lot of the things that were happening, but also the claims that are being made out there, claims of colonialism, claims of genocide, claims of the right of Jews to be in Israel. It was important for me to explain all of this, not for Jewish people necessarily, but for more so for people who weren't Jewish, for people who didn't understand what was happening in Israel and why it happened. And it also carries a very strong message for Jewish people as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It starts with Jewish people. It's not going to end with Jewish people. And but Jewish people are fighting this like at the front line. There are so many people behind that line that they don't even know what the right side is, and this is really sad. دوستان براتون ترجمه میکنم چیزی رو که آقای اسرائیل ریس بهش اشاره کردن. گفتن که بعد از اینکه اون تلفن رو گرفتن از پسرشون، یه مسافرت از قبل برنامه ریزی شده داشتن که باید میرفتن اروپا و رفتن، و اینکه اونجا مواجه شدن با تظاهراتی که به جای اینکه اعتراضی باشه به اون کشتار وحشتناکی که در روز 7 اکتبر اتفاق افتاده بود و 1200 نفر بیگناه واقعا از مردم، کسایی که ارتشی نبودن، کشته شده بودن به اونم به طرز فجیعی، ولی انگار که یک چراغ سبز گرفته بودن برای سازمان‌هایی که از پیش برنامه ریزی شدن که بتونن یک جهاد اسلامی رو به گفته ایشون جهانی بکنن. و بعد از اون خب چون نگران پسرشون بودن رفتن اسرائیل و اونجا خواستن که کمکی بکنن در بیمارستان‌ها. 2 ماه با همسرشون به صورت افتخاری والانتیرلی کار کردن و بعد تصمیم گرفتن که برن غزه و اونجا هم ببینن که چه اتفاقی افتاده. و موقعی که از اون کیبوتس بیری که در واقع کیبوتسی بود که بیشترین صدمه رو دید اونجا و تمام کودکان، مهد کودکا، همه چیز آغشته از خون بود انقدر که کشتار شده بود، اونجا دیدن کردن، همش با این سوال مواجه شدن که چرا یه کسی ممکنه که حاضر باشه این چنین جنایتی رو بکنه، چطور همچه اتفاقی میتونه در عصر امروز بیفته. و میگن داشتن با خدای خودشون حرف میزدن، نه اینکه ازش گله بکنن، فقط میخواستن دلیلش رو بدونن، و انگار که همه اطلاعات براشون فرستاده شده و اون چیزی رو که شنیدن نوشتن و امیدوار هستن که مردم دنیا بفهمن که این مبارزه فقط مبارزه بر علیه یهودیان نیست، یا یهودیان فقط بخوان از خودشون دفاع بکنن، بلکه داره به مسیری پیش میره که به طور کلی انسانیت از بین میره. و فکر میکنن که همه افراد دنیا که منطقی دارن خوبه که از نزدیک ببینن حقایق رو، با حقایق آشنا بشن و از همین الان قبل از اینکه دیر بشه بتونن مقاومتی داشته باشن، مبارزه‌ای داشته باشن با اون چیزی که دور از انسانیت هست. Thank you so much. I just want to ask, your son is okay, right?
He is, yes.
Okay, good.
He is. He's actually visiting with us right now. We're very grateful. He got married. He had a baby. And he is actually being called up again. He served over 350 days since October 7th. And he has served a number of times over the last couple of years. And this August, he's been called up again for another 3 weeks to serve. It is never ending. And it is very difficult, as any parent out there who knows, and that we have to deal with the unknown, and we have to deal with our son, and that is in danger. And we hope one day that will all stop.
I hope so. I really pray for the peace in the entire world. Hopefully one day we human beings would realize that we can live on earth together, coexist, and have a peaceful life, all of us. We just have 2 minutes to the end of today's show, but I want to ask you a question about the article that was recently published in National Post. There you mentioned that the true warning sign for Jewish security is not what happens on the streets, like the protests that you just referred to. It actually, the problem or the danger begins when anti-Semitism and bias are validated by institutions and written into law. If you can explain very shortly about this, I would really appreciate it.
Sure. I call this subversive anti-Semitism. It is the deniable anti-Semitism that takes place within a society based on the bias against any one people. And we saw it happen in Germany in 1935 with the Nuremberg laws that came into effect, that basically took away the rights and the social contract of the Jewish people under Germany. My fear is that something like that on some level could exist within the political framework. It is when our political framework allows and gives license to the jihadists, in this case it's jihadists, to become stronger politically, to be able to put in place a bias against Jewish people, whether it's in the passport office or the tax office, or whether it's in the criminal justice system. This is really the real threat for Jews who live anywhere in the diaspora. And the way to counter it is we have to speak up. As Jews, we like to be quiet. We like to keep our head in the sand. We don't like to make a big deal, but this is not the time. Mm-hmm. The time is now for us to wake up everyone around us, to wake up our neighbor, to wake up the world. It is the time for decent people to call out the indecency. It is the time for reasonable people to call out the objectivity of what is happening, because as you said earlier, it's first the Jews and then it's everybody else. Mm-hmm. This is the time to speak up, and anything that you see is wrong out there, wherever you are from and wherever you are listening, today, now is the time, not tomorrow. Now is the time to speak up, because if we don't speak up, before we know it, the wrong people will be in power dictating the legislation that affects us greatly.
I agree. We shouldn't be afraid. دوستان خیلی کوتاه بگم مسیجشون این هست که نترسید، نخواهید خودتون رو قایم بکنین و با ساکت بودن صحبت کنید، و به خصوص اگر که میبینید قانونی داره وارد سیاست میشه، سیاست مداری میاد سر کار که میتونه بر ضد انسانیت و یهودیت کاری بکنه، حتما با صدای بلند راجع به صحبت بکنید.
In the book, there is a chapter dedicated to Iran.
I think it's
very important. My heart is with the Iranian people. What is happening right now, I predicted and called it out, as many others may have as well. Please buy the book, support my efforts, and give the book to somebody, to your neighbor who isn't Jewish, who doesn't know anything about what's happening in Iran, who doesn't know anything about what's going on in Israel. The book is very articulate in explaining that, and that is one way of speaking up, is by buying the book out there on Amazon and gifting it to somebody to explain to them the situation, because they are wondering, what is going on? What is it with all these people? What is it with all these protests?
Oh, yeah.
Give them the book. It will explain the story.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, Israel. It was a pleasure talking to you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me today.
Q-Market.
یعنی بهترین.
Q-Market.
یعنی ارزانترین.
Q-Market.
یعنی تنوع.
Q-Market.
یعنی رضایت. مایحتاج روزمره خود از قبیل گوشت، مرغ، ماهی و سبزیجات تازه را می توانید در کیو مارکت تهیه کنید. کیو مارکت جایی است که می توانید با ارزان ترین قیمت، بهترین کیفیت و با تنوع زیاد و رضایت کامل خریداری کنید. کیو مارکت، مارکت ایدئال ایرانیان در قلب ولی، تقاطع ونوون و لوئیس.
الو سیمین.
بله جانم، چی شده؟
من امروز اخراج کردم.
سعید ببین چی کار میکنی؟ خب معلومه مدیر آمریکایی رو نمیذارن زمین، تو رو به جاش بردارن. گفته بود اگه تقلبش رو گزارش کنی اخراجت میکنه.
شما چطور؟ در سکوت کار میکنید یا اگر سکوت کنید کار میکنید؟
من رادنی مصریانی هستم. تخصص ما دفاع از پرونده‌های سخت کارمند و کارفرما در برابر بزرگترین کمپانی‌های آمریکا است.
818-80-80-88.
یه زمانی بیمه صاحبان مشاغل، یه زمانی بیمه آپارتمان بیلدینگ، آفیس بیلدینگ و شاپینگ سنتر، یه زمانی بیمه اتومبیل‌های شخصی و تجاری و منازل مسکونی و اجاره‌ای، بیمه سلامتی و عمر. یه زمانی، نه یه زمانی، یه زمانی یعنی یه بیمه و یه زمانی. بیمه یه زمان. بیمه زمانی با 28 سال سابقه در خدمت شما در هر زمانی. 949-424-0808 949-424-0808 zamaniinsurance.com 949-424-0808 zamaniinsurance.com. We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum. بیمه زمان.
تور 14 روزه لاکچری ایرلند و اسکاتلند با آژانس امیری، دابلین، بلفاست، گلاسکو و ادینبرو، دیدار از طبیعت افسانه ایرلند و قلعه های باشکوه اسکاتلند، سفری به قلب فرهنگ، معماری باشکوه اروپا و موسیقی زنده، اقامت در هتل های فرست کلاس با صبحانه و گشت های کامل. تاریخ حرکت 5 آگوست. لطفا قبل از سولد آوت جای خود را رزرو کنید. 818 758 2626. amiritravel.com.
این است شاهکار هنر دندان پزشکی. کلینیک های دندان پزشکی چند تخصصی LA Dentist Group به سرپرستی دندان پزشک برجسته دکتر واهیک پال مصرخانی با تخصص در پروسدانتیکس و فوق تخصص در ایمپلانتالوجی از دانشگاه لومالیندا. زمانی که وضعیت درمان دندان های شما آنقدر پیچیده می شود که چندین دندان پزشک از تشخیص و معالجه عاجز می مانند، آن وقت است که با مراجعه به دکتر واهیک مصرخانی سلامت دندان های خود را مجددا به دست می آورید، حتی زمانی که فکر می کنید امیدی نیست. از قرار دادن ایمپلانت، کران و بریج، تکنولوژی لیزر در درمان لثه، بون گرافت، مداوای ناراحتی فک گرفته تا رسیدن به زیبایی طبیعی با استفاده از ونیر. مطب مجهز به لابراتوار دندانسازی. کلینیک های دکتر واهیک مصرخانی در گلندل، پاسادینا و نقاط مختلف لس آنجلس. 818 755 5555. 818 755 5555. Los Angeles Dentists Group.
سامان، پاشو این وام خونه رو فالو آب کن.
باشه.
چرا همینجور راه لم دادی؟ میگم برو دنبال وام.
باشه بابا، باشه.
ای بابا، هی میگه باشه. یعنی چی باشه؟
بابا جان، باشه یعنی وام با که هم باشه. پس خیالت راحت باشه.
با 24 سال سابقه، 24 پروگرام عالی برای وام در 44 ایالت آمریکا، پیام کهن باش همراه شماست. وام خرید املاک مسکونی و تجاری و ریفایننس تا سقف 10 میلیون دلار با بهترین شرایط در کمترین زمان ممکن. 310-488-2010. 310-488-2010. با پیام کهن باش برای وام نگران نباش.
سامان،
باشه بابا، باشه.
آیا شما هم مثل من باید رنج برنامه ریزی مراسم یادبود عزیزانتان را توأم با غم از دست دادنشان تحمل می کردید؟ من مریم شهرستانی آماده ام شما را در این امر دشوار و احساسی یاری کنم. مطمئن باشید پیش خرید قطع زمین و پرداخت هزینه های مراسم خاک سپاری از قبل بهترین هدیه است که می توانید به خود و عزیزانتان تقدیم کنید. با من مریم شهرستانی در پیرس برادرز والی اوکس گریفن در شهر زیبای وستلیک ویلیج، همان محلی که بسیاری از افراد سرشناس ایرانی به خاک سپرده شدند، تماس بگیرید تا قیمت‌های مخصوص پیش خرید را با پیش پرداخت کم در اقساط ماهیانه بدون چک کردن کردیت در اختیارتان قرار دهم. 818-540-8192 818-540-8192 لایسنس نمبر FD-1344.
دریافت میلیون ها میلیون دلار خسارت برای جامعه ایرانی دستاوردی است از وکیل میلیون دلاری تصادفات پیام شایانی. این است خسارات دریافتی اخیر بزرگترین دفتر وکالت تصادفات در جامعه ایرانی. 13 میلیون دلار در تصادف اتومبیل، 6 میلیون دلار در تصادف کامیون، 5 میلیون دلار در تصادف اتومبیل، 3,200,000 دلار در تصادف موتورسیکلت، 8 میلیون دلار در تصادف اتومبیل و صدها ستلمنت موفق میلیون دلاری دیگر. از اولین انتخاب، بهترین انتخاب، پیام شایانی.
بالاترین افتخار برای من دریافت بیشترین خسارت برای جامعه ایرانی است.
818 777 777 777